Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let's begin our worship with our preparatory song. Again, welcome, and please pass the peace. Welcome your neighbors. Don't necessarily touch hands. We don't want to pass any germs. Okay. Rowdy group today. So nice that you are sharing and passing the peace with each other. We have a few important announcements today. Two of them are revolving around the upcoming Ash Wednesday services. We have the privilege again this year of hosting the first Lenten pilgrimage service. That will be this Wednesday, beginning with lunch at noon in the Fellowship Hall. The service will be at 12:35, and then there will be another lunch at 1 o'clock. If you are planning on participating in the lunch, please call the church office and make a reservation. Otherwise, you do not need to make a reservation just to come to the service. There will be a second opportunity for an Ash Wednesday service. This will be our own congregational Ash Wednesday service Wednesday evening at 6:15 here in the Fellowship Hall. We will be having dinner as usual from 5 to 6. Please call the church office for reservations or put a note in the offering plate as it goes by. But we would love to see you for our beautiful Ash Wednesday service that will be conducted here Wednesday evening. Finally, the book studies we hope will begin this week in the different groups. The book that we're studying during Lent is Hard to Dance with the Devil on Your Back by Ray Buckley. We do have copies of this book for $5 in the church office if you would like one. There are several groups that will be meeting at different times and at different homes throughout the weeks. You can call the church office and either talk with Kathy Kelly or me, Lee Roberts, or you can talk with Emmy Burns, our church secretary, and we can get you in touch with any group that might fit your schedule. There are no other announcements. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Those who are able, please stand for the call to worship. The mighty God summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets.
Our God comes and will not be silent. God calls and we respond to his love.
The heavens declare God's righteousness.
We tell out God's glories.
Offer up to God your thanksgiving.
And our God will hear us, save us, and stay with us forever.
Join with me, please, in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. God of power and wonder, we are awestruck by the glory of your presence. We rejoice at what we can see. We marvel at what we cannot see. You dazzle us with your brightness. You overshadow us as with a great cloud, loving, protecting, challenging, nurturing. You strengthen and transform us. May we love and serve you in all that we are and do. Glory be to you. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I have a very dear friend who is going to come in a few minutes for the joining in the church of Matt and Kayla. So I'm going to relay this for a few moments till he gets here. He's Bob Titus, and he pastors at another church. And I told him I'd wait on him. And he wants to be here for his grandson and granddaughter to join. So we have another guest who is with us this morning that I know will look somewhat, not strangely familiar, but familiar. Ryan Moore. Won't you welcome him back home from Asbury Hill?
Thank you. Good morning. It's my privilege to be here this morning. I'm so excited. We get to do church visits all over the place. And of the three that I got to choose, this was the first one. It's great to be home. So my name's Ryan. Hopefully I've met most of you. But I currently serve as the program coordinator at Asbury Hills United Methodist Camp. And we are the United Methodist Camp of South Carolina, sponsored by the conference. And philosophically, we view ourselves as a resource for the church. We've tried to position ourselves as a place where members of the United Methodist Church and Christians all across the state and the Southeast can come and find Christian birth, growth, and renewal. But I'd like to speak to you this morning about summer camp and something that we're really excited about this summer. We've had the privilege the past few years to be blessed both financially and with great leadership. And so we've really improved our stock at Asbury Hills. We've added a lot of new recreation, a lot of new programming, and what I really want to speak to this morning is our faith focus. So for summer camp, we do serve all ages, entering second grade to entering 12th grade. So any kid that's in school can come to camp. And we have a range of different camps that we offer. There's the traditional core camp where campers come and they do archery and they go to the pool and they go climbing and do zip line canopy tours and they stay on site the whole time. And then my area of fun, my privilege is to plan adventure trips, so trips that go off site, and I lead rock climbing trips and we go whitewater rafting. And it's a blessing to get to do that with kids. But at the forefront of all of these camps is the faith element. And this summer, we got together and we've started rethinking what we want kids to learn and to know about the Christian faith that they're trying to live out. And so we started off by asking ourselves what we thought kids needed and what their position in society is today and what the position they feel they are in society and the pressures they're feeling. And so what we gathered was that there's an odd focus on vampires, comically so, and there's an odd focus on success through expression. We feel like kids really want to express themselves. They're looking for an avenue that they can join into something that doesn't pressure them to be a certain person or to act a certain way. We want to tell kids that actions are something that you do not to conform, but to express who you are. And so as a part of that, we're focusing our summer faith curriculum on the idea of community. We want kids to know that there's a God who loves them and accepts them not for how they act, but for who they are. We want kids to know that this God wants a relationship with them that is both give and take, that he wants to grow with them and live with them and be active in their lives. And on the other side of that, we want them to know that we want them to be active in what God's plan is for their lives. So we want to tell them that there's a community that accepts them and then also put them on a trajectory and a path to serve in a community that is centered around Christ. So I'm going to be really bad if I don't quote John Wesley in church. And my belief is that he says a statement that goes something like, do no harm, do something good, and do something spiritual. And we've taken that to heart at Asbury Hills. And so our beliefs are that kids should have fun, we should do no harm, every kid has to have a good time at camp. And actually, we just got numbers back recently, and 96% of our campers said that they had a great time at camp and they felt accepted. We think kids should make friends at camp. And 89% of kids said they made a new friend while they were at camp. And then that kids should grow in their faith. We have to do something spiritual. And we had 93% that said that they felt closer to God after their experience at camp. So if it sounds like something that you have a grandkid or a kid that would want to be involved in, please come speak to me. I'll be by the elevator. And if you're an adult looking to come to Esbury Hills and do a retreat with your Sunday school class or with a group of friends, also come speak to me. I'd love to talk to you about it. Thanks for your time this morning.
I'm sure he came home looking for Sunday dinner, too. So, you know, no matter how good camp food is, it has its limits, I guess. Well, Bob has shown up, so I'll invite Matt and Kayla to meet me here. Bob, would you come down and join with me as well? Matt and Kayla, would you come? And also, I don't think you had. Do you have anyone standing with you? You want them to come? They can come as well. The reason I've asked Bob to be here, like I said, Bob has a. You can stand with me or stand down there, Bob, wherever, whichever place you'd like to be. Matt comes as a transfer from his grandfather's church to join at Main Street. And Kayla, her journey has been from the Baptist church. And so I've met this fine couple one Sunday morning, and Bob and I were out on a place called a golf course worshiping. Maybe praying is a more appropriate. We were there, and he sort of asked me, did perchance my grandson and his lovely wife happen to show up, and we began to talk about him. And I said, yeah. He said, well, they're searching. And I knew they were searching. And you didn't know that. And I'm prayerful that you took an interest in someone that you didn't know that was searching for a church to have nurtured them, because they didn't just visit Main Street. They visited other churches, and they came back here. And so it's a part of our celebration of who we are and who you are together. But to be reminded, to be sure to acknowledge the strangers in your midst and to embrace them and to nurture them, therein constitutes the growth of the church and of the body of Christ. So Kayla, as a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministry? Matt, and to you both, Caleb, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your services? I will. To the congregation, members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. If you will you read the response as found in your book? We give thanks. Together with you, the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you, strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Welcome to Main Street. Won't you make them welcome?
The Old Testament reading for today comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Hear now a reading from God's Word. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up into heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elijah, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Quiet," Elisha answered, "of course I know it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But Elisha replied again, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Quiet," he answered again, "of course I know it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I am taken away?" And Elisha replied, "Please let me become your rightful successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between them, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariots and charioteers of Israel." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. On the church calendar today is celebrated as Transfiguration Sunday, and our gospel lesson relates to this event in the life of Christ. The lesson is from the 9th chapter of Mark, verses 2 through 9. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. "Six days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of a mountain. No one else was there. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance changed, and his clothing became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly process could ever make it. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. 'Teacher, this is wonderful,' Peter exclaimed. 'We will make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He didn't really know what to say, for they were all terribly afraid. Then a cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son. Listen to him.' Suddenly they looked around, and Moses and Elijah were gone, and only Jesus was with them. As they descended the mountainside, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until he, the Son of Man, had risen from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated.
Arise, my soul, arise, fresh, for deep things eternal.
Let us go have a moment of prayer, please. Holy God, on this Transfiguration Sunday, when we think about those wonderful spiritual experiences that we have had in our lives, those experiences that have drawn us closer to you. And we pray, dear God, for all of us that we would have more experiences that would draw us closer to you, and fewer experiences that would seem to push us away from the joy of our salvation. We pray, Holy God, that we indeed would find ourselves during these days now that we are preparing to enter into of Lent, days of preparation and also days to listen. To listen, as the Scripture reminds us, of what the Spirit says to the churches. To hear your voice. To hear your voice as it speaks among the trees and as it speaks in our souls. To hear your will for our lives and the will for our church. That you indeed would lead us in a plain path. A path of your will and a path of your direction. And we pray, dear God, for those within our church family this day by means of radio who are not able to be with us but are still worshiping with us still, that you indeed would assure them of your love and of our love for them, and that your healing presence would be there to comfort and to strengthen and to nourish and to heal. Holy God, may your will be done in our lives and the lives of our friends, our family, and our church. Be with those serving in faraway places, in the mission field, in the military, those serving our church, as elders and deacons, bishops, laypersons, and those who are serving our nation in Congress and in the White House and other places. Those who protect us during the day and during the night in the highways and byways, wearing the uniform of our state and our nation. Protect them, O God. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come? Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for all that we have. For all that we have is yours. And we surrender it to you. And today we represent a portion of that which we have received in this, our gifts, our offerings. Bless these gifts, Almighty God. Bless them richly that men and women and boys and girls may come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Bless giver and gift, those who have not, those who chose not to give this day. Let your holy presence rest upon them and these gifts. Amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message, so we'll invite the children to the front, please.
You, where are all your friends? We don't have any this morning, but we are so glad that you are here. Today is Transfiguration Day, and that was the day that Jesus went up the mountain, and Miss Myra read that scripture, and he was transfigured before two of the disciples. In Sunday school, we have been talking about calling disciples, and we have talked all about what it means to be a disciple. And one of the ways that you can be a disciple is helping others. And one of the ways that we can do that, and that we are doing that as a congregation, is bringing money for Heifer International. And what we were trying to get was $170 for the gardener's basket. And that is a basket that one person in the world will get lots and lots of different seeds, and it will be enough to plant a garden that they can then feed their family from and sell the other produce. So we have done that. We have $200. So we have $30 left over that will go to our next thing. And what I would like to challenge the congregation to do as we enter Lent with the Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday is that during Lent, could we possibly raise $480? That's 7 Sundays that we can bring money and maybe get $480. And that would purchase 4 animals for a family that they can then shear those animals and spin yarn. It's called a knitter's basket. And they would have yarn. It would be a llama, an alpaca, a sheep, and an angora rabbit. Do you think we can do that? Do you think we can do that? Do you think we can do that? I have faith that we can do that. We have been able to purchase so many animals that are helping some family across the United States, and that is such a blessing to them. And that is one way that we can turn around and be disciples to others. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, and help us continue to learn to live like him and be a good disciple. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
You may be seated. The readings we have had today in the scriptures have been those of some quite miraculous events. In reading this passage of scripture, I thought again about those miraculous events throughout scriptures. And here we have a writing from the book of Mark. Mark is that gospel, now gospel, but back when the disciples were penning the scriptures, they is speculation that Mark was one of the sources that the other disciples used to jog their memory, as it were, when they were writing the scriptures. So here we have this story of the transfiguration in what is perceived to be the first gospel. And then we have this eyewitness account from the disciples that were there on the mountain with Jesus. There are those individuals who would choose to explain away the miraculous encounter by saying, well, you know, the wind was blowing and the sun was shining and it looked like, and they thought they heard and they were sleepy and those type things. But I prefer to believe that the encounter happened just as it's written. We have documented truth, proof, and we have eyewitnesses that said it occurred. So my question would be, okay, if it occurred, why? What was this encounter to do? Who was it to help? Was it to inspire Jesus and to reaffirm to him who he was and to give him strength and encouragement for the journey that lay ahead of him in the next few weeks? Was it to jolt the disciples into understanding who this Jesus was? I'm not so sure that we could receive the answer that would be synonymous with all of us. Each one of us might have a different perspective on why this encounter took place. But one thing that we do know is that, especially if you have attended Sunday school, and I do support Sunday school, and I think that we should participate in Sunday school. And so if you've ever been to Sunday school or Bible studies, you understand that Peter was one of those disciples that seemed to always be, well, you know, putting his foot in his mouth. It's only been just a few days when Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, who do people say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. And then Jesus began to talk about his suffering, and Peter said, wait a minute, we're not in for this. And then Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're not on the side of God, but of men. And so Peter very well could have been still struggling with some of this encounter with Jesus as he was there on the mountain. And they have this profound experience, and then from the cloud comes these words, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. You know, when I think about how many volumes have been written about listening, I have even heard it said in some of my counseling session with some of the wives, you know, my husband just doesn't listen to me. I know none of the rest of you have ever been told that, but it has happened in other places. Or my wife doesn't listen to me. Teenagers. My teenager does not listen. I remember my mother telling me that. Terry, you're just not listening. And so here is Peter, and Peter, James, John, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And Peter says, wonderful. Let's build three tabernacles. I don't remember anywhere in this passage where Jesus even alluded to the importance of building three tabernacles. But maybe it was with Peter that he realized he had opened his mouth enough and gotten enough trouble that he would keep his mouth shut and do something with his hands. Let's stay here. Let's build something. I can imagine these buildings turning into synagogues and schools and all on the side of a mountain. And why were these built here? Well, God said, listen to His Son. So that's what we did. We built these buildings. The reality, Peter may have been wanting to say something because, or do something because he was afraid. As I think about Peter, when fishing there with their father in the boat, and Jesus calls them to give up their occupation and follow Him. And I think about all the theological discussions that those men must have had while they were out on the Sea of Galilee fishing. I mean, back in those days, you know, they had the scrolls. And can't you see them rolling the scrolls along and trying to catch fish and having great debates over what the scriptures had to say, and then getting baits and then water and all this stuff on these scrolls, and they were so priceless. It's not very practical. Jesus calls these individuals from the security of their occupation into a world that they didn't know a lot about, to become a fisher of men. And here they are journeying along, and this fisherman is on the side of the mountain, and he's having this phenomenal experience, and he's scared. The story was told about a young man who went off to school, and he sent home this letter, and the letter said, "Got a feather in my cap, was elected to become the president of the freshman class." Then a little bit later, he gets another letter, or his parents get another letter from him. "Another feather in my cap, elected to the finest fraternity." Then the letter comes again from the son to his father. "Another feather in my cap, I have been elected to be a part of the theater, and I'm going to have the major role in the theatrical production." Then a letter comes to his brother, "Prepare, Dad, I have flunked out of school.
Letter comes back from brother to his brother. Dad prepared. Take the feathers. Oh, and he said, and send money for me to come home. And Dad says, tell brother, I am prepared to take those feathers out of his cap and put him on his shoulders and fly home. The reality may have been like myself when I started back to college. I was scared to death. Had a family and responsibilities and didn't know if I could hack it or not. I had always been the type of student that passing was 69 and a half. And one teacher looked at me one day and said, Terry, you amaze me at how close you are to failing and you always seem to pass. I was not a bad student. I just wasn't a real good student. But once I started into college and I discovered motivation and responsibility because I had a family, and then there was something called a dean's list, and lo and behold, this old cotton mill boy made the dean's list. And a B+ in Greek. I could do it. The fear subsided from the motivation that it took. And so as I think about change and how change comes in our life, that is something to me that this Mount of Transfiguration is speaking to us about. It's speaking to us about the importance of change and how the things that get in our way, sometimes it could be fear. We don't like change, but sometimes change is crucial. It's vital. We realize that if you're not changing, then maybe you're dead. There's a song we used to sing, from glory to glory, he's changing me, his likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. He's changing me. And if we think about the Old Testament, and it speaks about the potter's wheel and being formed into the image that God would have us to be, the importance of being willing to listen to God. I think about that song, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, voice of God discloses. One of my good friends, in writing in a blog on Facebook this week, referred to this passage. And where he found himself listening to God was up on Mount Mitchell in a minus 40 degrees sleeping bag in a tent that can sustain the winds up there. And he talked about that place listening. I'm not telling you this morning you got to go sleep on the ground at Mount Mitchell to hear God, but I am asking you this morning, what is it that keeps us from hearing God speak to our hearts? Is it our fear? The fear of change? Is it our attitude? Our attitude, especially in the New Testament church, was this new message just for the Jews, or was it for the Gentiles also? Peter has his own interpretation of what it meant to experience this. And Jesus takes them down from the mountain. And they encounter another demoniac. And from there to the cross. And had the disciples understood, Jesus told them that he was going to suffer and die and be resurrected. Had they heard him, had they believed him, they wouldn't have fled. And they fled. And Jesus speaks to us. We, this coming Wednesday, will experience Ash Wednesday and journey into Lent and in a season of self-denial, a season calling for us to take up our cross and follow him and to listen to him and to be his disciples. And what is it that gets in the way? Is it our attitudes? Is it our mouth? Is it our inability to hear? Is it our fear? It's as varied, I suspect, as there are people in this congregation this morning. My question is, where are the places in your life that you listen for God's Spirit? Are there places where you listen to God? Are there places where you hear him say, follow me, become my disciple, and I will make of you fishers of men and women and boys and girls? Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, number 703.
Oh,
As I process out today, I ask Matt and Keller to join with me, as you will have an opportunity to greet them at the back door, for those of you that go out that way. And also, if you've looked around and hadn't seen very many young people today, our young people have been on their winter retreat. They're up in the mountains somewhere, and from what I've seen on the news about snow, I think their prayers must have been answered. But we do pray for God to watch over them and give them a joyous time together. Receive now the benediction. It is a responsive benediction in your bulletin. Let us go forth into the new seasons of our lives. Let us go with caring awareness for the world and all that's in it. Let us go forth in peace and be led out in joy.